You can come through it. I'm going to come into that of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's important to know that you can come through it. The devil would like to tell you that it's no use, that there is no way, that it's been like this for so long in your life, or you've dealt with this for so many years, or this is continuing to rebound and ricochet back into your thoughts, that why don't you just give in to it and just grab a hold of it and just figure that's the way your life is going to be, whoever put your name there. But my God says there's a way, and He will make a way. And He's there for us. We had a great message last week with Linda and Heather about storms and how things would be there and how God would be there for us. We hear of so many that we know going through various situations in our lives up to today. And I would actually say this to you, I dare, that we're all going through something. All of us sitting in this room are going through something. It's either you personally or something within around your scope of where you're at. It could be things that have happened today, this week, last month, last week, whatever it could be. It could be for years that we're dealing with this stuff. But I want to just remind you today that God will make a way through it. And we will come through it with that of God's help. You got to be confident. Why? Because that's what God's Word says. If you don't have confidence in the Word of God, yeah, the enemy's going to have your lunch and dinner and breakfast and snack, and he's going to eat you up. But you got to have God's Word in you, close to you, around you. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to keep looking at scriptures, even the scriptures that you know well. Read them again. Focus on them again. Meditate on them again. For they're there for a purpose and a reason. I know in there's some movies and shows and things that it's kind of crazy, but I can watch over and over again. And mainly movies. And I can tell you the outcome. I can tell you what's going to happen now, there, or what, this, that, and the other. But you know, it's an amazing thing. Even though I might have seen this movie 8, 10, 12 times, I can always catch something a little different because then I start looking at the scenes. And I love the older movies back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s. My wife probably thinks I'm crazy. But just give me a black and white, and you can tell that it's all animated stuff that they did before they did these things in Hollywood, you know. But I just like to watch the background of things and just notate different things. So if that's the case, or I do that with the world things, what makes you think not that I can read God's Word and read that same verse 15 times and I get something out of it, a little different, a little clearer? And it's not that, as we know, God's Word says it never changes. But what is changing is Tim. What's changing should be you in how you perceive that Word of God. And as you allow it to get into your spirit that is maturing and growing and developing through all of these years, that you begin to have, wow, I never saw that in there. Or that's interesting how that stopped right there at if or the but or whatever the case might be, right? And so why not reread and reread God's Word, and it comes new and it just swells up in you. But we've read 1 Corinthians 10:13 many times. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with a temptation, what will He do? He will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it or endure it. The Amplified would say this, He will also provide the way out, the means of escape to a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. I like that. I'm glad Bill's here today because that's what I put it in there for. He likes to fly. It's always important to have a landing spot, right, Bill? Got to have a landing. If you go up, you better figure out where you're coming down. But God, I liked how they amplified this. that provides the way out, in the brackets, the means of escape to a landing place. God has a landing place for you to land at when you're going through something, and I dare to say it's going to be His Word. Something in Scripture, something to meditate on, something in the Old Testament, something in the New Testament, something that He has done for you 20 years ago, 10 years ago that brought you through something. You're going to recount that again in your thoughts and think of that and think, well, there's my testimony. But what He's done then, He will do again today. And if it happens again, He'll do it again tomorrow. But He provides that landing place. Land in His Scriptures. Amen. When you're going through a trial, open up the Bible. New Living says this, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Mine's worse than yours. You know, the old thing of my dad can beat your dad up. Well, your problem is not, my problem is better, bigger than your problem. I bet it is. I don't want to one-up somebody on a problem. If you want to have the worst problem, you can have it. But we got to realize, as Elias says, that it's no different than what others experience. And God is faithful, and He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. Again, what is so great and nice about different variances of scriptures, or Bibles, I should say, is that how they phrase it sometimes. And just the little word here and there that settles into your spirit. Don't you find that sometimes where you read something different in another version and it's like, wow, that Amplified was awesome. Wow, the Contemporary, that was neat. And it just helps us, for me personally, when I begin to fixate on a particular scripture, I want to look at other translations and to come up with some other nuances of some of the words that might be a little bit closer to today's verbiage or today's understanding of things. So when you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure it. He will show you a way out, but guess what? You're going to still have to endure it. You're going to have to go through it. He's not just going to pick you up and drop you out, because these things happen for a plan and a purpose for God in our lives. Now, well, let's just finish out on some of these thoughts. New Century says, the only temptation that has come to you is that which everyone has. But you can trust God, who will not permit you to be tempted more than you can stand. But when you are tempted, He will also give you a way to escape so that you will be able to stand. The focus is we are to stand. Stand during these times of tribulations. Stand during times of frustration. Stand during the times of medical tests. Stand during times of financial crisis. Stand whatever it is that we have, relations in our families, whatever it is, we need to learn to stand. And when all else fails, stand. We're not to sit on our duffs. We're not to, oh, woe is me, and blubber, and oh, you don't know God. He knows it all, but we got to stand. We find in the footnotes of some of this that in that culture, it was filled with moral depravity and sin-induced pressures. Sin will pressure you. Do you find sin of today pressuring you at times to fall back into that sin? To fall back into those things. Generally, we know the enemy would like to tempt you with the things you've come out of. You know, if I didn't have a drug problem, he's not going to tempt me with dope and cocaine and all that stuff, because I'm not out of that culture and I ain't going to do it, you know. But if it was some other things, if it was drinking, well, he's going to focus on drinking. If it's smoking, if it's pornography, whatever the case is, he knows your past, and he will try to bring those things up. But anyway, here back then, as we're finding in Paul's sharing, the moral depravity and sin-induced pressures. Paul is encouraging the Corinthians, and who here, we could be the Corinthians. He's encouraging Tim. Is he encouraging you? Do you find when you read Paul and throughout the New Testament and different scriptures, that even though it's all speaking to Paul and Peter and John and Bartholomew, all these things, you know, or Thomas or whatever, that I can put my name in there so many times, and it's like, that could be me, could truly be me. And that's what's so neat about God's Word. It's written thousands, 200, 5,000 years ago, you know, all these times. But it's so relevant to today, and I can see the same things that were going on, even with Israel going through the wilderness. How many here have been going through the wilderness at times? And those verbiages and those things that God spoke to and tried to tell that of Moses and all is the same thing for today, and Joshua and all of these things. And we are those people of today going through things of today. But anyway, he's trying to encourage the Corinthians, and that's us, that temptations happen to all of us. So don't think it's just happening to you. So many times the enemy would like for you to concentrate on who? Yourself. And to think that it's just me that I'm going through this. I'm the only one. It just must be something that I've done, something bad. That God doesn't love me. God's this, God's that. I started a month or so back doing a reading program on chronologically through the Bible. And it started in Genesis and did so many chapters in Genesis and chronologically on how it happens time-wise. And I'm about halfway through or whatever through that of Genesis, and then it jumps to Job. And reading through Job. And again, you just read through Job and the things that that guy endured and how he got upset and how those around him tried to tell him and tried to question him, and he tried to remain this and he talked about that. And then I got done with Job and now I'm back in the other part of Genesis. So it's kind of neat how it, and it's a timeline of how these events happened chronologically. So it's an interesting read. But anyway, that was kind of interesting the last couple of weeks of just reading two or three chapters of Job and just meditating on them and just thinking about those things, that even what happened to him. And yes, God allowed Satan to put those things on him, but God said, do not harm him. Now, he lost his family, he lost his fortunes, lost a lot of things, but God said, he's my person, he's my man, or it could be, you're my woman. Don't harm them. And then when it all came through it, Job got more than he had to begin with. He's got like we hear that in God's word about a double portion. You know, and when the enemy is defeated and God will return the spoils back, he will give you a double portion of what the enemy has stolen. Man, he started having more kids and wives and, I mean, cattle and more head of this and that. I mean, everything. But, you know, do I want to go through what Job went through? No. I get enough out of it just reading it, okay? I don't need to say, well, God, that's pretty awesome. Oh, that would be great if it happened to me. No, I don't want that. I just thank you, Lord, for having true stories, not just fables, in this Bible that I can read and I can learn and I can glean some things that I need to learn for my life of today. And I would rather learn by what they went through than putting me through it to learn it. There's a lot of valuable stories that have happened in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Be wise and allow those to be a teaching tool for you to where you don't have to go through that particular situation. Not to say you're not going to go through particular situations. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. But anyway, learn what you can from those that have gone on before you. Also, others have, secondly, others have resisted temptations so that you can do the same. If others have come through it, don't you think you can? We can. You've got to get that I can make it through this. That binding chain or whatever on me can be broken, and I can come through that. The devil's not going to keep me down. The devil's not going to keep insinuating this or pushing this on me. I'm not going to subscribe to what the devil wants to tell me. I'm going to subscribe to what God has already told me of who I am in him, so that I can live a good, rich, abundant life on this earth in shalom. Well, isn't there a little bit of rough seas and bad weather, storms coming your way? Yeah, they have come my way. But I know too, this shall pass. It's how long do you have to hold on? And I would encourage you, hold on to God all the time, not just in the storm, but hold on to him in the good times. When things are going good, don't forget him. When you're going through a storm, every waking moment, you're crying out, and you're praising him, and you're praying to him, and you're talking to him. Oh, it's a bad time. I got to keep connected to my God. When he brings you through that and everything calms down, you stay connected to God by doing what? Praising him and worshiping him and saying, I love you, God. It's a beautiful day, God. I love you, Jesus. Do we do that? I do. I've said that before. My wife thinks I'm talking to somebody in the back bedroom or something. It's me just let out with something. Love you, Jesus. She couldn't hear what it really said. She'll go, what'd you say? I go, nothing, just talking to Jesus. But it's just something that rolls off of your tongue. And it's not to be super duper spiritual and super duper whatever, but it's the heart of the person to where you can just sit and nothing's going on and just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. For what? Well, we can go on and list all kinds of things. You know, if he asks you to do that, you might have to do that. But I think he just enjoys hearing someone down here go, love you, God. He goes, oh, there's my child, Tim. He's remembering me. He's not got anything majorly going on in his life. He's living pretty good right now, but he's remembering me. Yeah, I love my God. Others have resisted temptation. You can do the same. And thirdly is that no matter what the temptation is, it can be resisted because God will provide a way out. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man or woman, but God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond. Now this is a lot of times dealing with sin and the things of life and the sins that we've come out of. But you can also kind of like look at some of these things, and I like to look at it in the areas of as well as other situations, a way out of it. In the natural, in the physical things that we go through, it's, yes, I want to not go back and he made a way for me to get out of that area of sin, but we go through life and we go through this and we go through that and we get through hardships. But I believe even God has said, Tim, when you go through a financial burden, I've made a way that'll get you through it. When you're going through a medical situation, I've made a way where you'll get through it. Now, he'll either heal you here or he'll heal you in heaven. So he didn't fail. But that's where we got to get to that point where I trust you, Lord, to where that time and that day comes or whatever the case might be. And we talked a little bit about that in Sunday school hour. But, you know, most of us, we want to just continue on this race. We go until we fulfill the call. We want to run that set race before us that God all has us on. And can I be honest? Yeah, I want to live as long as I can. But in that living all I can, I want to also honor my God and continue to be hooked up to him to be able to do what he wants me to do or to complete or to be a part of whatever that is. Maybe he will leave you here on this earth to be nothing but what? Pray for your nation. Right? It's not monumental, but that is monumental, right? To pray for your nation. Maybe it's just to pray and stay on this earth to pray for your grandkids, your children, your friends, whatever the case is, praying for your enemies. But God wants you here for a plan. May he provide for that. Well, God will help you recognize the people or the situation that is giving you the problems. Sometimes you don't even know what's giving you the problems, right? It's like, I don't know what's going on. I can't put my finger on it. Maybe you say, Lord, help me, show me. Give me some insight into this. You need to run from things that are causing you trouble. How many times we don't run from it? We'll get to maybe some scriptures on that. But there are things in our life that we need to run away from rather than dabbling around it. You need to have good judgment to choose what is right in God's sight. God has given us the brain, the thoughts, the ability to think. He's given us wisdom if we rely on his wisdom to where we can think things through. We can know. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say you don't stop on a train track when a train is coming because something's not going to work there. chances are you're going to get splat. Pretty smart. Well, duh. Do I need to pray to God when I'm crossing the train track? Dear God, should I cross this track? No. Common sense. He wants us to use common sense. Our wisdom, our common sense, we need to get is from Him, that we should be able to think on our own two feet. Always hooked up to God, through that of the Holy Spirit. But I know God will speak to us. But after a while, He's going to say, well, if that particular aspect of your life always draws you back into sin, then why do you always go there 6 months later after you get out of it? Why? 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 Boy, it can boil us over sometimes, but He wants us to use some wisdom. We're not... Anybody here brain dead? No. You better not be, because I've got the mind of Christ. And when I got the mind of Christ, I should be thinking some clarity things of like that of Christ. And if I'm thinking like the mind of Christ, Christ says, I don't think or say or do whatever except what I see or hear my Father in heaven. So if we got the mind of Christ, we've got the mind of God between our ears to make some good decisions. And when you need some additional help, pray about it. Yes. I got three things to do, Lord. I just don't know which one. They're all great. I don't know. You know, especially when they're all three pretty good. What should I do? What's the best? Blah, 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 blah. Well, let's pray about it. Now, if I've got three things to think about here, or three choices, Lord, two of them are pretty good, one's pretty bad. Do I really need to pray on should I take the bad idea or not? Not really. Why? I got common sense. But you might say, well, what if He wants you to take the bad so you can learn something in that? Well, if you're Spirit-filled, He will talk to you about that, but I don't think He's going to say, because I think there's enough in life that gets us back on the course with Him a lot of times. But anyway, it just gets back to this. We've got to be God thinkers, but we've got to be free thinkers. We've got to be knowing that. Why is that? Well, how do you say that, Pastor? Because God has given us a free will to choose and do whatever you want to do today. If He hadn't done that, then He would say, you need to be a zombie and you need to hear me on everything you do. He would desire that none would perish, but there's going to be people that perish. It's their desire, it's their will, it's their stupidity, it's whatever it is. But I also know I can pray and stay in closeness with God. And as I'm close with God, I'm doing something automatically. I'm renewing this mind. And He might be instilling something a little different than what I had thought. Or He's emphasizing something a little bit more than what I was pondering. But if I'm with that of God, He is feeding me this information, and I need to pick it up and say, okay, I'm going to choose this, but not do that. But anyway, He's making a way for us to escape these things in the past, or even the things that we go through, I think, in the natural. Let's get on here so we can keep this going. We need to choose friends that love God. Sometimes we're in with the wrong crowd. You got to get in with the right people. Do not forsake yourself assembling together with people of like-minded faith. It says that in scriptures about that. We need to get with people that have like-mindedness. There's a lot of people in churches out there that have different kinds of mindnesses. And if my mind isn't connected to where their mind is, and I'm not saying they're wrong or we're right, but it helps to be with people of the same family. I know we're all a part of the family of God. But we need to get into a relationship with church people that are loving and caring, and they're similar to what I am, to what we can relate, but that we can support, that we can pray, that we can encourage, that we can be there for, right? So God's Word says you gotta get with people of likeness of who you are. Well, that's the same. Choose friends that love God and that can help you during the times of trouble and the things of temptation. 2 Timothy 2, We all know this, but let's just sometimes just turn to it just so we know it. And it just says this: flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Guidelines for the growth in the Spirit is this: spiritual growth is learning to depend upon the Holy Spirit's life in, you through His indwelling presence and spiritual gifts that He has given you. It's important to have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. Strictly avoid those fleshly indulgence, and do not succumb to the fleshly desires. Devote yourselves to Spirit-filled living and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And that's where we look at that of faith, love, peace. But it does say that we need to flee those things. We need to run from temptations. Now that is dealing with that of the sin and things that could come back in. So we glean out of this is that we all have common struggles. It's a test. It's something to help us grow. It's something to define us. Other people are facing these same things, but we got to realize God is wanting to show us who we are in Him. God is wanting you to see how much faith you do have, how much trust you have in Him. Also, Paul shares about the character of God. God is faithful and keeps a watch over us. He is watching us. He's not left us forsaken. He will set limits. Remember, I talked about Job. He sets limits on how hard the test can get. But you got to trust, like, this is getting really hard, but it's got to be, well, okay, Lord, you must know that I can endure them, but how can I endure them, Lord? It's really hard. You need to rely more on me, Tim. You need to get more of me in your life, Tim. Yes, it's hard, but I will give you that strength. I will give you peace. I will give you joy. I will give you comfort. God will say, I will do all of these things, but you've got to rely on me a lot more than you're doing right now. And sometimes the only way you're going to do that is when you go through a little bit more of a trials and testing for God to sit there to say now, because we only know and see the hand of God in a trial. Most people only see that in the trial. They don't see it in the beauty of the land around them. There again, I err on, I want to see God in everything I see every day. In the trees, in the birds, little fluffy little rabbits jumping around. The storms that they talked about last week and all, you know, that Heather shared. It's to see the magnificence of that, to think that the power in things like that. Phenomenal. I watched last night an hour-long kind of a documentary on disasters of the country, and one of them they brought up was back in the 80s, Mount St. Helen. My goodness. That thing started giving signs out like in March. Things are happening. Things are rumbling. More earthquakes. Things of that. Blah, 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 blah. March. April. It wasn't until May. But all along it's given signs. It's starting. I mean, they actually showed like April, in April where the bulge, it started. It was like every day it was showing. It was the side of that mountain was growing 5 feet every day. The pressure under that rock was pushing 5 feet up. We got people out there like, I want to go out there and look at that. This is going to be awesome. Well, yeah, until it blew. And we know what that looked like. But now there's like, would I have had to pray to God? God, I'd really like to go out and watch that thing blow. Is that wise for me to go, God? Should I go? Should I? Please. No. Catch it on the 5 o'clock news. But it was devastation. Just totally devastation. devastation. They put roadblocks up. People went around them. They didn't have enough police to even block the roads. I mean, they said, you know what people need? And I'm guilty as charged. When there's a sign that says, do not enter, closed, don't go around that sign. Guilty as charged. I'm the only one that did it, I know. I'm the only one that goes around those things. But, you know, as we go through, you can look at the simplest things we go through. And we could find frustration in all that. Yes, I was frustrated in sometimes. It's just crazy. But I'm talking to God even in my frustrations because I'm still saying, God, why? What's going on here? But just relying and trusting God. But of being a child of God, I can go through. Paul talks about that, of the character of God. He's faithful and he keeps his eyes and a watch over us. He provides that way out. Now, as I wrap this up here, God is in all of our activities. Is he in all your activities, folks? I hope he is. I hope you can say every day we are on a journey and he takes me and he guides me. And he's always there, even through that of medical, even through that of finance, whatever the case is, our mumblings and trippings and fallings, haven't we all fallen? But who cannot sympathize or feel for, when I fell on Thursday and Dan fell like a Monday or two later, I could sympathize with that man falling on concrete. Any of us that have fallen can, I know how that is, Ed's, I got an amen over here. Do I have a witness, Ed? We all get to have a witness. And like all of us, like Dan's saying, I don't know how that happened. It happened so fast. I go, got that too. I don't know why I was nose down on the pavement, but boy, it happened fast, you know. And but those things happen. And thank God for his protection and cushioning and healing and strengthening. And so many things that even with the things that affected our brother there, it's like, think of how serious it could have been. How many people have you known that have fallen and hit and crushed and have to have reconstruction surgery or have to have brain damage or a brain bleed? 2 days later, they die and they don't know it, you know, it's because they had a bleed. And so God protects us even when we are in our aged times and we fall and we have procedures and we have these things happening. So we don't want to discount that God is there and he's there with us. The whole thing is, and I was reading a little bit on this, because I'm trying to get some clarity myself. And it said, you know, and there's books and there's footnotes and there's studies and there's things out there saying that we've got to realize that as children of God, we are in a body that decays and gets old. I don't see anybody in here with a body of like 22 or 24-year-old and hair and muscles and tone and all that. We are aging and our bodies do these things. We're in the natural realm here. And so the body does, and we live in this fallen world and diseases run rampant, you know, all these crazy things. But we do know the clarity of it is that my spirit lives on forever. But, you know, so these things happen. But anyway, it says, Paul is giving us a solemn warning against independent self-confidence concerning one's moral security. Never think that I got this. I can do it. I can beat up on the devil. No, you can't. You cannot do anything to the devil on your own. On your own strength. On your own words. You've got to use the word of God on the enemy. But self-independent self-confidence concerning one's moral security. That's verse 12 where it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You're not as big as you think, brother. And follows with that message of encouragement in 13, that no temptation to overtake, okay? Temptation translates a Greek word which means enticement to evil or testing. Our testing, I don't know why it's popping, our testing in general, including various kinds of trials. The word should probably be understood in the broad sense with the further understanding that while God permits testing for the purpose of strengthening faith and character, Satan entices to evil for the purpose of destruction. In James 1, 2 to 4. James now, in James chapter 1, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking to the 12 tribes. They're scattered abroad. But he says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." And patience is endurance or perseverance. You will find that as you have gone through trials from being a child of God in the very beginning of salvation to where you're at maybe now, that you're able to stand even more than what you used to. Why is that? Because he has built you up through these situations. That your faith has gotten stronger, your maturity in the Word of God has gotten stronger, knowing that who you are in him and that you're not alone. So when you fall in this testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This perfect, may that you be perfect, is basically saying work that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And here it is. If any of you lacks wisdom, what are you to do? Ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. It's pretty well explicit right there. You don't have to read too much into that, I don't think. But we want to be mature. God wants you to be a mature follower of his. He loves his children, but he loves those that are mature. And do you sometimes think about this as thinking that in the natural, that as your children grow and may become more mature and you got other children behind them, that it gives that parent a little bit more time to deal with those that are immature and babies still? And he's going to say, "Tim, I have been with you now for 20 or 30 or 40 years. And you're maturing. You still have a long ways to go." Like, don't go where there's a road closed sign. "But you've come far enough, and I've put you through things, and you've seen my hand upon your situations, and I have your faith has grown by the things that I have allowed to come around you so that it could perfect you, mature you, get you developed. And now I've got to spend some time over here with these baby Christians." Now, God can do it all. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. What he does here, he can still do here at the same time. I'm not saying that he can't. But I'm saying it as us looking at it, I think that if we've been with him long enough, we should be able to handle this to a point where we can pray, receive, believe, and rejoice. And go on. "But my leg still hurts." Believe, pray, rejoice, and give God the glory. But it doesn't matter that it still hurts. This too shall pass. It'll heal. You got to give it time. The healing prospect of the body, right? Our circumstances need to work out in the financial area to make this work and for that to happen. In all these cases, I don't know. But all I know is God is God. And he's not left us. Even those that are mature are those that are still babes. He's still that same God. But he wants us that have been maturing with him to be able to understand who we are in him and the strength that I possess and who I can call upon at the drop of a hat, and he will send the help to me. My help comes from upon high. Thank you, Lord, for this day, and thank you for your love for us, and thank you for your care for us. I pray that we have learned and we grow and we develop, Lord, more and more to know the things that you have for us. And that, Father God, that we do know that you are there with us no matter what we are going through. And Lord, I know you will bring me through it. I ask, Lord, that you touch each of us here today in a special way to bring strength, peace, encouragement. Bring in a flood of joy, Lord, that we can just shout praise and glory to you, Father God. I love these people. You love these people. Thank you, Father God. Go now with us. Lead us out. And I know that you have already prepared our tomorrows. And we're going to walk into them with our heads held high, worshiping and praising you, Father God. I love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.